It's been a long time. I've been here once before, and I do remember some of the faces here gathered today. It's 30 years since I first came to Cardiff to go to South Wales Baptist College and to train then for the ministry. And it's my joy to be with you in the city of Cardiff here this morning. I just want to ask a question as we begin, and it's simply this. Are you blessed? And do you know what it is to be blessed in your life? Do you have a blessing on your life? If you're a Christian this morning, it's impossible for you to be a Christian without being blessed of God. We read in the book of Ephesians, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." And it's that one word, that word blessed, which actually means happy. It means very happy. And it's a great word. It's a word that the Lord Jesus Christ used on many occasions. And you know yourself in the Sermon on the Mount, that sermon that people know about. The Lord Jesus Christ begins that sermon by repeating this one word 9 times. And if you've got your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Luke's Gospel. And it's not the Sermon on the Mount, but it's the Sermon on the Plain. And the Lord Jesus Christ then begins this sermon by actually repeating this word now 4 times when he begins and he starts and he comes and he... It's a great gospel word. It's a great word of good news, and it's a word that every one of us needs to know in our experience. And our text this morning is simply this, from verse 21. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled." Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. And I don't want to simply to give a pep talk to you, something for the week for you to chew over. And the Lord Jesus Christ never actually dealt with the pep talks, lift me up talks. He actually dealt with eternal things, important things, significant things. And when the Lord Jesus Christ here is preaching in the Sermon on the Plain, he puts his finger, as he does, on the real needs, the real issues, the things which are relevant. And here it is now, you see, happy. Well, everyone wants to be happy in life. Everyone wants to be really happy in life. And he begins then by giving this sermon, "Happy are the poor." And then he says here, "Happy then are you who hunger." Perhaps I shall ask that question again. Are you blessed this morning? Well, let me ask you this question. Are you poor this morning? Are you hungry this morning? Perhaps that will be an answer to the question. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, what he does, he's actually giving you this great gospel word. It's a word, you know, which only comes to us because of the Lord Jesus. If you were in Luke's gospel, you can turn there to chapter 1, just for an example. And in chapter 1, and in verse, I think it is, 29, you read this. Or verse then, yeah, verse 28. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then you read it again in that chapter and a few verses after. Because you know why? Because when the angel comes to Mary and she's going to give birth to a child, look, there was a curse on this world. But when Jesus comes into this world, it's going to be changed around and it's going to be a blessing. And I just want to just speak on this for a few thoughts then. And but they are important things. They are the things which are really eternal. And they are really significant for now and forever. And if I said to you and you asked that question this morning, you may actually answer it in your mind. And you can say, well, to be honest with you, I do feel very. But I won't use that word. The word I normally use is the word fortunate. And the word other people use in the world, they say, well, to be honest with you, when I look at the world and I see the world all around me with a terrible wars and what's taking place in Syria, and the famines, and the people who are starving and hungry, I must say to you, I will tell you, I just feel, even though I may not even be a Christian, that my life really is blessed. And I know people in my family and my street You wouldn't believe the road they've had to walk. You couldn't imagine the hardships. Some have been born with disabilities, and some have had terrible news given to them. Do you know, I wake up in the morning, I see the sunshine, and I think to myself, oh, well, it's good to be alive. What a blessing. I think to myself, here I am. I got food on the table. I'm not hungry. I got clothes. I've got a family. I've got children. I got work. I got job. Do you know, I could even go on holiday at least 3 times a year. And actually, I still got change left over. I tell you something now. If anybody's blessed today, I'm blessed. Well, I got news for you. You're not. You're not. You may know of blessing. You may know of that. And you know the little chorus, count your blessings, name them one by one. And you know that, don't you? But you're not blessed. You're not blessed. Because you may be in this condition where you've got everything. And you've got everything now. And you're not hungry or thirsty for any more. You've come to the place where you're content and satisfied. Now, don't get me wrong. All those things I mentioned are good things. And they're things that God gives us. And God's kind. And he's generous. But you may not be in that position where you know what it is, that you are favored of God and that you are really blessed of him. And it may be this morning. Well, to be honest with you, I have great needs. And there are things which are not right. And even though I've got certain things in my life which are good, do you know, I've got that kind of aching, and I've got a hungering, and I know that there's something missing. Look, I've come here this morning, and I'll tell you how I am. I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm running on empty. You don't know how close I am to running out. You know, I've come here this morning, and I know there'd be others. They may not have needs, but you don't know how much I need just to get through this week. I know I'm living in this country, but I actually need something. You see, you may be, you know, in this place this morning, and you actually have got great needs because you're not happy, and you're very sad, and it seems to be there's not anything that can seem to fill that void. Well, I'm just going to say to you from this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's preaching, and as he's preaching now, he's actually preaching. You're going to have to note this, blessed are you who hunger now. That's perhaps one of the difficulties that we have in the gospel preaching these days, is that the trouble is people of lives are full with so much, and there may be no need that I can show you this morning. I'm sure you've gone round your doors, and you've gone door to door, you've gone in your evangelism, perhaps you do your open air. It's an interesting experience, isn't it? You know, you knock the doors, I don't want to say, but I go to this street, and I go to another street, and there's a contrast between the streets. And sometimes, you know, there are streets which seem very affluent. And when you knock the door, and you say to them, look, I'm from a local church or chapel, and I want to tell you about God, and you need God in your life. Well, you may as well just say to them, look, I'm coming to you today because I know that you need a giraffe in your life. And they got that look upon you, see, because it is just so, you know, outrageous that they need a God because their lives are so full and so filled. If you watch those kind of chat shows on the TV and they're interviewing one person, interviewing another person, and what happens is they've got it all, haven't they? They've got it all made. And what are you doing tonight? And where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the gig and the concert and the match. And I'm going down to the races. Everybody's got something to do. And no one's, you know, looking for somewhere to go. They've got their lives filled. And that could be a dangerous thing. To be honest with you, that is actually not a good place to be. Because, as you know, even if you're not a doctor this morning, And you don't have to be much of a doctor to be knowing this. If you get up in the day, or you wake up in the morning, and you're not hungry, well, tell you what, you need to go and see your doctor. It's got to be the clearest sign. If you're actually off your food, not to be hungry actually could say that there's something wrong with you, and that you're sick, and that you're ill. And although you may not realize it, but you should realize it in a physical kind of way, you realize that something's not kind of working here. And that's what it's like in this world now in which we live. People don't realize that they're in an absolute real need, because there is something that they should hunger for and need within their experience. You know, it's that thought. If you're hungry, you're functioning. You've got energy. You're eating up the calories. You're alive. When a child is born, the first thing and sign of life is this, is that that child, that baby, wants the mother's milk. The sign of, you know, health is that they've got a good appetite. Oh, and they're putting on the pounds. Now, it may be here this morning, I'm going to ask you the question once again. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Are you hungry? No, I mean now, because there are many people perhaps who go to chapel, they go to church, they come to a place of worship like this, and what happens is they come every Sunday morning, every Sunday, and they come like clockwork. But I got to say to you, they're not hungry. They're not hungry for God, a relationship with him. They're not hungry for his word. They're not now looking forward. They can't say, like with the psalmist, my soul longs for you, Lord. My soul longs for you, as in a dry and in a weary land. No, they just feel that they go to a place of worship. They've done their bit. They do the good works. They're not actually really hungry. I'm just going to ask you that question. Do you know what it was, perhaps this morning, that you could say with the psalmist, I long for the courts of the living God. And I want to be there. And I want to know something of God. I want to hear God speak to me. And I want to hear his voice. And I need him. And I desperately need him. Now, I know I'm in an evangelical church, and I tell you, it can go something like this. But here's the question. Are you blessed? And are you hungry? You say, oh, come on, you're talking to seasoned campaigners here. You don't know my life. I get up in the morning, and I've got the scriptures. I do the one reading, you know. I do the chapter. I'm super good. I do the Robert Murray McChain. I do the four chapters. I do, you know, two chapters in the morning, two chapters in the night. Do you know, I have known more appetite in some evangelical Christian lives. A computer could have had more desire to gone through the scriptures. I'm asking you something like this. Are you getting up in the morning? Do you know something of this? I don't know, perhaps. In those churches where you go, they're the more traditional ones, and they've got a ritual. And sometimes they come into church and they've got someone who's carrying, not the cross, but they're carrying the Bible. The cross comes first, and then someone's carrying the Bible after. And I've noticed, I haven't been many to those places, but they come with the Bible, and then what happens, they come to the person on the front, and the person in the front does something like this. Well, that's interesting. Do you know what it is to just ever have that? I love it. I could eat it. If you could eat Bibles, I'd eat it. I'm waking up and I know the chapter I'm now going to read tomorrow morning. I can't wait to turn to it. I'm hungry for it. I'm thirsty for it. Haven't you ever known what it is to say, oh, I just love it. I love it. And I'm so thankful for it. And I love God for it. The question I'm asking you is this, you see. Are you just hungry for him? Are you blessed? And are you hungry? I tell you, we've got a problem in our land. And it's simply this. We're no longer hungry for the things of God. For the word of God, people of God, the ways of God. Can't wait till this man shuts up. And the rest of all that kind of thing. You know, there's that, isn't there? Perhaps that's one of the reasons we're not as blessed as we should be. In this land of Wales, is perhaps we're really sick. And we don't have the desire that they once had, and at one time, and in one place. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks now to these. So that's just a little thought, the first little thought. Now, the second little thing I want to say is that perhaps there may be someone here, you say, who actually says, well, Chris, I tell you what, you're pressing my buttons this morning. You're really pressing them. Whoa, you're on the ball. I tell you, you are speaking. That's just how I feel. You won't believe it. I actually, in my life, I've got it all. I've got everything. But there's still something in my experience that I just am not happy. And I'm simply not satisfied. And you could actually sing the song which the very small band is still singing, and it must be going on for something like 47 years. I can't get no satisfaction. And they bumped this song around, and they're still then singing it. And the amazing thing, I got news for you. Mick Jagger can sing that song for another 1,000 years. And he still won't get no satisfaction. Just because of the fact that you are hungry does not mean today that you are actually blessed. No, it's like you say, that's confusing, it's a contradiction. No, it's because, you see, Mick Jagger is looking in the wrong places. And actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you looked at verse 20, he is speaking to a certain amount of people. He is speaking to his disciples, and he lifted his eyes towards his disciples, and he said, isn't it good to have a preacher that can eyeball you and really just look at you? And now he's talking to them, really, as they are in front of him. Now, that's an important thing. He's speaking to these who have come to him. He's speaking now, you see, to his disciples. And he's got something to say to them. And the words in the Greek are only two words. Blessed hungry. And he knows something about their heart. Now in that reading, if you were listening very carefully, the amazing thing is this morning, wherever you are, just take this on board, Christian or non-Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ, he got up in that crowd that day and he said this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Now that's one of the amazing things of the Lord Jesus. If you want to know something about the Lord, how extraordinary he really was and he really is that the Lord Jesus Christ could stand into the multitude of people. He had just fed 5,000 people, and he can say to the world, listen, I am the bread of life. I am the one that can satisfy your real needs. I am the one that can fulfill you in your living in this world. I am the one that can give you strength. Do you know, no one else can say that. You can say this morning for a moment, and you can say to someone, look, I can fulfill your life. I can come, and you come to me, and you'll always be satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ said those words. He said, look, come to me, all you who are hungry. He said, all you who thirsty, come to me. And I'll promise you this. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you will be satisfied. You come to Jesus Christ, you will find your deepest needs fulfilled. Jesus said in that chapter and reading we had, he said, listen, you eat of my flesh, you drink of my blood, and you'll find all that you need. And he's speaking there of his death and his sufferings and his broken body and his shed blood. You'll find what you need. You'll find forgiveness. You'll find pardon. You'll find life. You'll find the joy of the Spirit. You'll find it all. Come to me. Eat of me. Drink of me. You'll find it all. You will definitely know of that. Believe in him this morning. Come to him. It wasn't too hard, was it? It wasn't too much shouting. What you've got now, just come to him, okay? Just come. And I promise you this. You will never hunger. Never hunger. You will not hunger again for the things of this world. The pleasures of this world. The ways of this world. The emptiness of this world. The things of this world. You come to Jesus Christ. I've come to him. I found in him. I know something of him. Those things in this world which never fulfill, Jesus Christ, oh, he is it all, he is everything. I know there's that little chorus of people sing and they don't like it because it's so simplistic. Jesus is the answer to my every need. You can't say, oh, I do sing it, because it's true. It's absolutely true. I've not found a problem in one's life since coming to Jesus Christ that he hasn't got a title or he hasn't got the power or he hasn't got the means, which he hasn't got the resources in which he can come and deal with whatever you need. There it is. Just saying to you, you may be hungry this morning, but it doesn't mean that you're blessed unless you've come, you see, as these people have come, they're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks these words to them, blessed hungry. Blessed, look, there it is. You say, okay, look, isn't this a contradiction? Well, no, because it's like this. I don't know about you, but I was doing good last year until about the 23rd of December. 23rd of December, it's Christmas. And you know, I was doing so good. I must have gone through nearly a year without any chocolate. And all of a sudden, my boy's bringing them in, he's bringing the boxes. You have a little tipple and you take a little, handful here and there. And you do that on the 23rd and the 24th, it's Christmas Eve, man. 25th is Christmas Day, Boxing Day, you still got them hanging around the house then for a week or so after. The amazing thing is this, it's March now. I'm still looking for it. Looking for the chocolates. Looking for the taste. I nearly despaired yesterday. An Easter egg came in. And I knew it. There it is. I had given it up. The taste was back. And when you come to Jesus Christ, he will give you a taste. A foretaste. He gives you, does he not, something that you never even thought of experiencing before. And then what happens is this, you see, you come to him. You will never hunger for the things of this world, but you come to him and you will have a relish, a holy desire. You will know something that you're longing for more of him. That's what he's saying. There it is that you, that you've come to Jesus. Oh, you're very blessed if you've come to him and that now you've got life and you begin to live. But there's just something else I need to point out. Here it is in verse 21. For you shall be filled, here, or you shall be satisfied in other versions. But the important word is this, shall. You find it there again in that second, in the verse 21. Blessed are you who weep, now you shall. And if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, the word shall simply means this. It means now, in the future, that you're hungry now, you shall be filled in the future. That's been noted many times. So what it is that in this world, I think it was C.S. Lewis who put it like this. A baby is hungry for food because there is food. A duck is longing for water because it's a duck and there is water. People have longings for sex because there is such a thing. Don't you think, he said, if you've got a longing for heaven, is also such a place. And this is speaking now of the future. I need you to note that, because it's not all happening here. It was about a month ago, there was a little service, 7:30. You turn into the Channel of Wales. And it was actually a church in the next city, in Newport. And the person began, you know, that service with these words. This is the best life that you're ever going to live. Oh, that was good. I heard those words before. You turn into the God Channel, and there's that man, Joel Osteen, and he always begins his sermons with that. This life is the best life that you're ever going to live. Well, you know, all I can say to that is this. Well, that may not have been the thought of those Christians who were going to be fed to the lions in the Colosseum. They weren't saying, this is the best life that I'm ever going to live. It may have been for the lions, but it wasn't for these people. And neither is it for you. Because you see, what happens in this world is that you've got a longing of something better. Let me describe it to you, if you are a Christian. When you become a Christian, you experience something you never experienced before. Shall I tell you what it is? You experience of what it is to be clean. You have a moment in your life and you've had a joy and you've known something of the pardon of God and you've stood there, haven't you? And you've known that you are right in his sight and you know that you're justified, but you know that you've had that kiss that God has forgiven you and he's cleansed you and washed you. Oh, what a wonderful thought. But you also know this, that you still got sin in your body and you still struggle and it's still a battle, but you've had something of the taste of it. And you know now one day that you're going to go to a place and the moment that you die from this world, you're going to be made perfect. Your spirit will be made perfect. And one day your body will be glorified. But you've got a longing on you, a longing that one day you'll be rid of sin. Anybody says in this congregation this morning, oh, you don't understand, I'm a perfectionist. Well, you've got it all now, have you? You don't even have to wait for heaven to have a sinless body. Remember a preacher, Charles Price, and he said he was at the door one day and he was in that place and a man came up to him and said, do you know what? I believe, he said, that I'm sinless. Charles Price said, oh, that's really interesting, he said. Can you tell me, is your wife in the congregation? Oh, he said, oh, yeah, she's over there. But she doesn't believe the same as me. And it's like that, isn't it? No, it really is. And you've got to wait for that day. Can I say something else to you? You're longing in this world in which we live. It's a sad world. And it's a world where children have got big bellies because they are starving. And it's a world where people are dying because of the disease, which is rampant, and no one has got a cure. We're living in a world where millions are being aborted. We're living in a world where people are being killed senselessly. We're living in a world with such oppression and greed. You say, I've got a longing in my heart. I got news for you. It's only then, when Jesus Christ will come, then, and if you think it's ever now, then you're not blessed. Oh, blessed are you hunger now, because then you shall be satisfied. And perhaps you've got a longing in your heart. You've known the love of God, and you've known of the things of God. And you know that one day of Jesus Christ, you're going to be with him. You're going to see him. Oh, but your relationship, it's here and it's there. But one day, you're going to be with him. You've got longing for that? Well, blessed, blessed are you. Look, this morning, those are the thoughts that we've got. And I just want to say that you will never be satisfied in this life. And perhaps I'll finish with this story. We had a man who died about 15 years ago. And he was 57 years of age. And he had grown up in the chapel. And the chapel I come from, he didn't know much about the things of the gospel. But it was one Sunday school teacher, who did know the gospel. And he said to this man, whose name was Michael, and as I was with him when he was dying, he said, "Do you know," he said, "my Sunday school teacher said to me." Now this man was born in the big manor in the town. He had the cricket, and his kit was spotless, and he played well. He had his wealth, he had his position. He said, "My Sunday school teacher said to me," he said, "Michael, at 17 years of age, that's 40 years ago, he said, you'll never be happy unless you come to Jesus Christ." And you know what he said? "Chris, I've never been happy. I've never been happy." Perhaps we'll close there. Love him, is it? Finishing. That's it. It's a thought.